Well, let's open up the Holy Bible and Judges chapter 7. If you don't know where that book is at, it's almost the sixth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you could stand up, please. We're going to read a couple of verses. The book of Judges. This morning, we're gonna talk over a person named Gideon. Some of you heard of Gideon, for example, or have been to some of the hotels and find some Bibles. Have you ever seen that there's some Bibles? Gideons. They're the ones that give out the Bibles. Where does this come from? It comes from the book of Judges. Chapter 6, 7, and 8. Let's read the first verse. Then Jerubbaal and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the well part, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, "Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gideon." And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be there that of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' the same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to the Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, and as a dog laps, he shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of them, people got down on their knees to drink the water. Then the Lord said, "Gideon, by 300 of men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man on his place." And Lord, let's pray. And this morning, we come here so you can speak to us and instruct us, that your Holy Spirit could be able to guide us where we're at and give us the next steps to go to get closer and be spiritually. Let us be obedient, as we've heard that our sister Hagler has been today. And let us be obedient to your calling this morning. Bless your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take a seat. In your devotional book, we're on page 24 and 25. This theme of today is finding God through strength, firmness, and faith. A new identity in our weakness. How do we have a strength, firmness, and faith in our weakness? In this book that we find here on the book of Judges, in the context when Israel didn't have a king after Joshua dies in the second generation, God starts to raise up liberators or judges. And it's not one that just judges, but also delivers or frees. So, more or less, there are around 14 judges that narrate this book. The interesting thing is that they narrate a vicious cycle in which the people of Israel would disobey, they would repent, God would save them, and then after a period of time, around 40 years, they would do the same thing again in front of God. Let's see the graph. This is what happens in the book of Judges. The book does the wrong thing in front of God. God disciplines him, and they seek God. And once more again, he brings a judge to help them out. There comes a time of peace. And again, they fall again to the same thing. This is the book of Judges. As I mentioned, there's around 14. And in this context, chapter 7 in Judges, we see that for 7 years, the book of the people of God, they have been dominated by the Midianites. Judges 6 says the same thing. The children of Israel did evil inside of the Lord. Dominated by the Midianites for around 7 years, that they're hiding in caves, and that's how Israel was. So when they start to cry to God, God brings them a liberator. Judges 6, verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, Who's going to be this judge? Gideon. Gideon. He was a peasant. With little ability, much less of hope to deliver them. But God calls him. And when God calls somebody, as he called the Haggars, and he can call many of you, we feel like we don't have the ability. Maybe we don't have it, but God, whoever he calls, he gets them ready. And he prepares them. And this was the case of Gideon. He was a man that lacked courage and faith. However, he has an encounter with God that transforms him, and God uses it to bring him victory to the people of Israel. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32 and 33, he mentions this person. Let's see what it says. And what more shall I say? For the time I would fail me to tell you of God. And note the last part, that through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness. God transforms somebody weak like Gideon with that lacks courage and faith. A man, he was strengthened, he was given firmness, and given faith. Those are the things that we want to learn this morning. How do we get strength, firmness, and faith in our spirit. And Gideon is an example of how we could obtain that. And we're going to talk about five fundamental principles, so we could be strong, firm, and with faith in God. The first one is chapter 6, verse 11. How is Gideon at the beginning? Now the angel of the Lord came and sat unto there, and the Tabernath tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So you know what Gideon is doing? He's hiding. He's hiding the wheat. He's hiding it because the Midianites would come and they would destroy it. And he's hiding. Let's see what the next verse says. Let's go back to 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. Let's see what it says. What does it say? The Lord appeared to him. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. So this is what the Lord says. Now the angel of the Lord came. Gideon is a peasant. He is hiding. He is fearful. And God tells him, Gideon, you're a man of valor. So let's see what Gideon says. What is Gideon saying? That I'm not that person. I'm not valor. I'm not a mighty man of valor. And it's interesting how God calls him brave, but he wasn't. So what's going on? He is weak in his faith, but what's happening is that God is seeing what he's going to do. God is opening what he's going to do or what he's going to do in him in the future. So us that are believers, he doesn't see what we are. He sees what we are in Christ and what we're going to do for him, not our weakness. He doesn't see what we don't have, the lack of faith. He doesn't see the lack of strength that we have. He sees the final product in us. The Bible says that we are his poem. And when Christ sees us, or when God sees us, he sees the final product. It's very different from what we do. You know, we say, you know, we have this weakness, but when God sees us, he sees our new identity. God chose us. The weak of the world says to shame the strong. God chose us to show his glory and power. The word God says in Ephesians. God came to show us his glory through the weak. And the truth is that we are just as Gideon. We're weak, but God sees who we are in Christ. And Corinthians 1:25. Let's see what it says on us. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness in God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many mobile are called. But God has chosen the foolish things in the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things in the world to put to shame the things in which are mighty, and the base things in the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. When you have that prayer with Christ, he changes your identity. You're not that person from way back. You're a new person in Christ. And when Christ sees you, he does not see your weaknesses. He doesn't see your sins. He sees Christ. He sees that you're a new person in Christ, transformed through Christ. He sees what you're going to be. The final product, not what you are right now, based on the daily practice. And many of us, as Christians, we forget that we have that new identity in Christ, that we are not that person that we used to be, and that God does not see us how we are. He sees us the way we are in Christ. And this morning, get one of these bookmarks where it talks about who you are in Christ. It says, in Christ, I am this and that, I am important. It's not what the ability that, or certain ability that we have. Why does God accept us? Because through Christ. So take this bookmark, and whenever you feel like you're really in those moments and you're like, oh, I don't really know if I could do this, I don't know if God can really use me, go again to this bookmark and read the cited verses so you can know who we are in Christ. The first principle to understand, one must understand to be a Christian, a strong, firm, and faith in Christ, is to understand that our identity is based on him. It's on Christ. And that he does not see our weakness because we are with him. That's the first principle. And Gideon receives that. Gideon is a his second point. Let's see, Judges 6:16. What does God tell Gideon? He feels weak, obviously. And verse 16, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be. What does it say? I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Note what it says. As one man, you will do this. In verse 22, the same chapter, it says this. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. So this person comes here, which is the angel of the Lord, to who we think was Christ reincarnated. And he speaks with a man. Gideon does not see or note. And God says, I'm with you. We find the strength that we need, but in God. God promises Gideon that he will be with him and that the victory will be given through him. His victory will come like if it was just one man, because God is with him. And you know what? God promised that he would be with us every day until the end of the days. How has he done that with us? He lives in us. In Ephesians 6:3-14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named. And he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, look what it says, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. How does he strengthen us? Through his Spirit. When we come to know Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that it will remain in us, so that it will strengthen us. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 19-20. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is this verse saying? Is that the power that used to of resurrection is within us. How incredible is that? Well, sometimes I don't feel like I have that power, but the Word says that the Holy Spirit who resurrected Christ lives in us and strengthens us. That is why we could be confident, we could be firm, we could have that faith. Why? Because he is in us. And the Bible takes us to take the armor of faith so we could be strong. He tells Gideon, I will be with you. He has an encounter with God so much that he makes a sacrifice in front of the angel, and the angel touches it only with his rod, takes that sacrifice, and immediately it dissolves. And at that moment, he realizes that, Gideon realizes that he's in the presence of God. And the verse we read, verse 22, Alas, O Lord of God, for I have seen angel of the Lord face to face. And he tells him, don't worry, you're not going to die. What happens? He has an encounter with God. From where does the strength come? It comes through the relationship we have with God. It is through the encounter we have with God that comes through the his strength. If we don't have that relationship with God, we cannot have that strength. Our life comes strengthened through that personal encounter with God, and God wants to have that encounter with you. And if you're not Christian or you haven't had that relationship with God, he is inviting you to have that relationship with you this morning. He wants you to have that relationship in such a way that the Holy Spirit will come to your life and will give you the power to live for him. The only way that you will have that relationship is through Christ. And this angel of the Lord was Christ, pre-incarnated. And today we have the truth that Christ came already, died for our sins, and he has died to save us. And through him, we could have that relationship. And this morning, ask yourself, do you have that relationship with him? Have you had an encounter with our great Lord? Have you experienced his presence? But Gideon doesn't only have that experience. Let's see what verse 34, Judges 6:34. But this, he says, he has that encounter with the Lord. But what else? What else? But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him. What's going on? After that time, the Holy Spirit comes into Gideon, and now he becomes a person, a strong person. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in him. And the interesting is that Gideon, after this, he still doubts whether God is with them. He still doubts, and even more, he asks them, well, he gives God some test. How do you test God? Well, he says, God has, for this pavilion to be dry. He still doesn't have all his trust in the Lord, for the Lord to use him. He has to test the God in this way. And in reality, there's no reason for us to do that. We don't have to test God.
Why?
The fact that God has given us His Spirit to strengthen ourselves and our weaknesses. The grace of the Lord is enough in our weaknesses. The word says that His power is perfected in our weakness. And it's through the Holy Spirit. And if it wasn't for His grace, we would not be here. You would not be here. And that's the second principle that we must understand, that to be a person with faith in Lord, firmness and strength, we must have that communication through His Holy Spirit every day. And this takes us to understand that our strength comes from Him and not from our own, not from us. And what else? Judges chapter 7, we find something else on how to have this strength, firmness, and faith. Verse 2, Judges 7, verse 2. Let's see what the Lord says. And the Lord said to him, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved them. Gideon is ready to fight and gather more people. How many people does he have? He has 22,000. But the plan of God is different. God knows that there's so many. So what does he do? Say, I want to reduce that number to, you know how many? You know how many he reduces it to? To 300. And why does God want them to do that? Instead of 22,000, he says, well, with 300, you're going to defeat the Midianites, which is a bigger number than 300. Why? What is the purpose? I don't want the Lord, the people to say that. We did it through our own selves. What is God trying to say to Gideon? That he must avoid vainglory. The vainglory will always be a struggle in our sinful nature. We are always going to fight that. We're always going to want to do things with our own strengths and think that what God does is through our own strengths and not give glory to God. And the Bible says that I want to use only 300 people so that Israel will not say, my own hands has saved me. It's a problem that we're also going to struggle through our walk with God. I remember a pastor that we interviewed for the one that which we grew up in to be a senior pastor. And at that time, I was guiding, to see who was going to get the position as senior pastor. And this man from Chile, I mean, I'm not against Chileans, but the interesting is that that when he would talk to us, he would tell us, he would say, I want you to understand, he comes from Chile, and so my preachings are always attractive, and when I preach, the church grows. What are you noting there? The vainglory. Exactly. So immediately we could not believe what this pastor was saying. This pastor saying, I have so much ability that when I preach, the church will grow. To make a story short, we didn't go through that whole process to get this pastor as a senior pastor. But the thing didn't finish there. We had to leave and, for our own ministry. And they kept on looking for a pastor. So at the end, they took another pastor, but this church divided, and after they divided, who do you think they brought this man? So what happened after this man controlled this church? To make short story short, they ended up selling the building. Why? Because that pastor was so centralized in himself that he began to cause a series of problems. Nobody could tell him anything because he was a pastor. His children were not in the right path, and even though they would tell him, he was not interested. The church ended up wrong, but why? Because of the vainglory of the human. That church never grew, that church destroyed, and I mean, he's a author. I mean, he's written books. I mean, see what happens when we feel superior, when we believe that, when we fall in this error, God wants us to depend on Him, because our flesh will always say, "I did it," but God works in differently. God does not want us to try to impress others. God wants to show His greatness and wants us to give the glory to Him. And many times, what He does it with so little to show us that it's impossible to do something without Him and for the glory to be with Him, for Him. We must understand that none of us are indispensable. That God manifests and works through the little. The little faith with the human vainglory brings nothing. But the little faith without the vainglory, the human vainglory, God will use it for His glory. And we should not take away the glory that God deserves. See chapter 7, verse 7. And this is what Gideon tells the Lord. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who leapt, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the people go, every man to his place." Verse 9 says the following. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand." You know what happens? Gideon is still doubting God. God sends him to the camp to show him what they're saying. And what happens? He hears him, and he sees that he hears a lot of them speaking, and that one of them had a dream in which they're going to give victory to this man. And Gideon hears that God already has placed in their hearts that they will be defeated. And so when he hears this, his faith begins to grow, and he shows Gideon what he's doing in the middle of the camp. But what's the whole point of all this? Is that God wants us to understand that we must be completely dependable on Him and not on us, not on and what we do. We must understand that our victory, spiritual victory, comes from Him, and there's no place to boast on us, on ourselves. It all comes from Him. We cannot give a step without Him. Many of you want to have success in your life, but you don't give God the first place, and you will not find success like that. Many of you all want your marriage to be right. Many of you all want your kids to be on the right path, but they're not committed to God. Many of you all want a better job, a better house, but aren't dependent on God. You want to do it all by yourselves. You want to leave all the problems, internal, external, but you aren't depending on God to take you out of those situations. You are depending, this dependency needs communication between you and God. Your dependence is not on Him. It's on yourself. We must understand this principle, this important principle, that our independence must be in God and not in our own strengths. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's where the victory comes. It's not comes from my own strengths. But from where? From the Holy Spirit in us. There's a song that I love so much. It says, He can. I know He can. I know He could do, my Jesus could do everything. He heals the brokenhearted, captivated in sin. And He can, and I know He can. I know He can do everything, my Jesus. And you know why? For His own glory, not for our own boasting. Let us be far from the moment when we feel that we have everything to live by ourselves. Because at that time, we are going to be defeated, because our dependency should not be on our own abilities but in the strengths of the Lord. That's the third principle, to have strength, firmness, and faith. To have strength, firmness, and strength, yet we have to understand that we have to depend on Him and everything, and give Him the glory in all. Fourth, verse 15, what does Gideon do when he goes to the camp and sees these two men talking to him about the dreams, to which he has already given him the victory? What does Gideon do? Verse 15 says, And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. What does he do? He worships God. His worship was an act of gratitude for God, for His fidelity and His greatness. When we see God working in our lives with power, we must worship Him, give Him honor with our lives. Worship Him, presenting everything as an offering for the fidelity of the Lord, for His greatness. Fifth principle, let's see verse 16, what's going to happen. Apart from worshiping Him, then they divided 300 men into three companies, and He put a trumpet into every man's hand with an empty pitcher and torches inside the pitcher. We here see, you know what's going on with 300 people that are divided. They conquer the Midianites. They defeat the Midianites. So how does He do it? He does it with a trumpet, with a small torch that He has. And so what do? They bring the torch hidden, and it breaks, and it causes a chaos. And the Midianites, it's interesting what verse 22 says. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion through the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia, towards Zerera, as far as the borders of Abel Meol and Tabitha. What happens? They make these people kill themselves, so they don't even have to fight. God is doing something through faith. This is a strategy. This is a military strategy. Military strategy. And that's how the faith is. The faith requires obedience to the Lord. And although it appears unreasonable, that is what the Lord is sending us to do, to be obedient to Him. The logical or reasonable for us is not always what God wants in our lives. We would only see that what God wants when we depend completely on Him by faith, and not do what we think is best for us. Think, if Gideon would have done whatever he wanted, what would have the results been? But it's not what happened. He obeyed the Lord. A person that acts and lives by the faith in Christ realizes that God is a Lord in his lives and acts in accordance with what God commands us. Not only does he... So this is what happens here. When the victory comes, everybody's like, Gideon, we want you to be our Lord. And Gideon says, no. the Lord is our Lord. He must be our Lord in the life. Yeah, many would tell us, "Hey, follow me," but they don't follow Christ. The philosophy and culture of the world says, "Follow me," but they don't follow Christ. Follow Christ and imitate those who follow Christ. I give thanks that we're people that imitate Christ. The pastor here is not following a man. He's following the Lord because he loves the Lord and he imitates Christ. We must imitate, invite others and follow and not follow those that don't serve the Lord. The fourth principle is to be a person to be with strength, firmness, and faith in the Lord. We have to live through faith. And this life of faith starts when we pray to the Lord. So this morning, if you have not given yourself to the Lord, I invite you to do it. Come to Christ because He wants to have the relationship with you. He wants to start this walk of faith with you. I invite you this morning. And again, if you are already a believer, I invite you to remember all these principles. One is your identity is based on Him. What Christ did for you and not in your weakness. Number two, God strengthens us with His communication and through His Holy Spirit. Number three, we must depend on Him and everything and give Him the glory and honor in everything and for everything. Number four, we must worship the Lord, giving Him recognition of His greatness, power, and fidelity. And number five, we must act and live every day by faith. Our faith in Christ. To be a Christian, a strong Christian, firm and with faith. That's what God asks of us this morning. Let's pray.